Well, today is our final in an 11-week series, our longest series so far as Open Life. And we have put a card in your worship guide, all the material clipped there, that walks through all of the different weeks. If you've missed some, you can always go online and listen to the talks that we gave on them to understand the whole heart. We're actually going to be putting all these on our website with the intro video links and the messages linked as well. But we've talked about how we're all about Jesus. We're united around the visionary. We do life together. We're present in community, strategic in our generosity. Everything is an experiment. We are more about reaching than keeping. We're all about the next generation. Excellence. Membership is participation, not proclamation, which we talked about last week. And then today, the mission is both local and global. I want to read Matthew 25, 31 through 33 for you. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. That might not seem like that important of a passage to you, but there is a separation that happens, and we need to be a part of making sure people find themselves on the right. We'll read the rest of it in a moment, but first I have to admit something to you. If I come to your house, or you come to mine, and you put out party mix, I'm going to shuffle through it for the things I like. I just admit it. I am going to go for those honey glazed like sesame stick things every time. Or the little, like, they look like a chili pepper, but they're really sweet and just a little spicy. I'm going to grab that out of a pub mix. Those two items are amazing to me. I'm going to avoid the pretzel. I mean, come on. Pretzels, you can get those anywhere, right? And I'm going to avoid that brown piece of whatever it is, right? The big, dry, brown piece of really salty stuff. And I'm going to avoid those two items. And if you put a bunch of nuts out, I'm definitely going for the cashews. The cashews is what it's all about. If you want to kill me early, you just give me a big one of those buckets of roasted cashews from Costco, because I'll just, like, I won't stop, and it's painful. But I don't know if you're that way, but I'm selective, and in that way, I will definitely go for my favorite. And luckily, God is not like that. And in fact, is anyone else selective out there when you're eating party mix? I mean, just come on, let's, yeah. Okay, so if you put out that little dry fruit mix that you can buy at Costco, do you just go for the kiwi? I mean, the kiwi or the apricots? Okay, never mind. I see, it's no matter what it is, I'm just going to kind of, I'm the guy over there going, you know, setting it aside, and you're like, hey, no. But I don't grab just a fistful. I don't do a fist and Anyway, it's my little, we're talking this series about how we learned everything from the A-team, and we haven't talked about the A-team every week. If that's important to you, we've missed that element. But we have kind of landed at the reality that we love it when a plan comes together, right? And so God loves it when a plan comes together, and he's got a plan. He's got a plan, and it involves sheep and goats of all things. See, at the center of his plan is all people. It's people. And at the center of what we do is our heart for people at Open Life. It's our heart for anyone. It's unconditional. It's not selective. We cannot be selective. As much as that's in our nature to go, Diet Pepsi or Pepsi? You're never going to pour them together and just drink, right? You're going to like, you've definitely got a choice, or Coke or Pepsi or root beer or Dr. Pepper. Why would anybody drink Dr. Pepper or watermelon or cantaloupe? Don't even ask that. Cantaloupe is awful. You know, it's just that, you know, we select, but in this one area of our life, we cannot be selective in the area of faith. We have to love all people. And at Open Life, we're on mission with Jesus, both locally and globally. So we've got to love people here. We've got to love people in our neighborhood. We've got to love people that are around the world. And yesterday I watched a documentary that was happening in Bainbridge as they commemorated the shipping out of all the Japanese on Bainbridge Island. And they just put this dedicated monument to them yesterday. And the last time they all filed, it was filing on a ferry years and years ago. And just, you know, these awful things in our history where we were selective and we judged people. And I just look today, it's vital that we're not selective when it comes to people. But yet, God's going to be selective. We have unique opportunities to make an impact in our workplace, with our friends, on our commute, if we're on a train or a bus, or in our neighborhood, at the neighborhood barbecues or garage sales. We have an opportunity on our personal mission, but we also have unique opportunities that are provided as a group of believers, as a church. The church affords an opportunity for us to make a greater impact beyond ourselves. That if we're faithfully giving and we're using our time and abilities to meet tangible needs of people, we can demonstrate the love of Jesus, so much so that it demands an explanation no matter where we are. We are each challenged by Jesus to walk through the doors God opens for us to strategically impact people both locally and globally with the love and message of Jesus through both our works, our deeds, our actions, and our words. Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, so I just need to like be nice to people. I need to not be an entitled person, but it's sign me up. I'll, you know, here I am, Lord, send me. I will go. You know, those who've read their scripture see statements like that in them, but it's harder than it sounds. What holds us back? Why do we see the need and drive by it? Why do we know the crisis, but yet don't engage it within the means we've been given? We have had our conscience seared, ultimately, to the value of people, all people. And when we see the need, instead of acting out of compassion and love and doing what we can do, even if it seems small and insignificant, we press mute. And we choose to be disinterested, desensitized, if you would. What would be possible if a united group of people decided to change the world by allowing our eyes to see and our hearts to feel the pain and needs of others? What would happen if we opened ourselves to love unconditionally, all people equally? What if we embraced the truth that we can make a difference? When we see a need, we take action. I believe that's exactly what God would have us do. If you followed the story of Rachel at all, anybody hear the story of little 8-year-old Rachel? So this girl at Eastlake, a church up in Bothell, was killed in a very unfortunate a car accident on I-90 by a logging truck. There was this big pile up, and this 9-year-old girl, actually, she had just had her birthday. She passed away due to severing her spinal cord, and just devastating to the family, right? Well, because she was a part of a church that believed that the mission was both local and global and that was strategically generous and engaged in the mission, she had discovered the pain that existed in the world. And for her birthday on June 12th, she decided that instead of receiving gifts, she was going to ask her friends to give $9 and support, and $9 a person just within their means, and help her raise $300 for an organization that provides clean drinking water for other little children in Africa. She saw what she had compared to what they had. And she said, I'm going to be part of the solution. $300 would build a well. So she was like, I am going to build a well. And so she began to raise funds. And as of her birthday, she only raised $220. She didn't reach her goal. But what happened after this accident, as she lost her life, they put it back online and decided, let's give in Rachel's memory. And people began to go to her page on Charity Water, Rachel's page, which is now their home screen, and they began to give and give and give. And it went not only to the local news, it went to the national news, and it went to the global news, and it went out on Twitter and Facebook. And as of last night when I looked, she had raised $809,000. $809,000. I mean, that is so much, almost $1 million from a $300 desire. That's the power of engaging the hurt, the need, the mess within her means. Little did she know, God would say, man, you did what you could do. Now let me do the rest. It's moved people's hearts all around the globe. I believe God would have us take the opportunities and favor He would give us in different situations today that we can make a difference within. And that's what He's talking about, and we're seeing in His Spirit when we read passages like Matthew 9, 35 through 38, says Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. You see, the people that were harassed and helpless, they were unguarded, they were unprotected, they had no shepherd, they were uncared for, they were unled, they were wandering. If I could have you remember two words today, and I have two blanks just right below this passage in your handout, it would be like sheep. Like sheep. And you'll understand why I would pick those two words before we're done. Jump back to Matthew 25, because we're going to see God's desire and separation ultimately of all people. Again, the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him. He'll sit on the throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate the people from one another. Shepherd, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll put the sheep on His right, the goats on His left. So that was our opening passage. Let's go to verse 34. The king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. A stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison. You came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Jesus was drawing a visual illustration for a bunch of people who definitely understood farming. And He was explaining how, hey, you know how you separate your sheep from your goats. And the farmers, those that were in the region would obviously go, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Those of value, and a traditional place of value in Scripture is on your right-hand side. It's a place of honor, if you would. We know that through Scripture, Jesus is at the right hand of God on the throne. It's a place of honor. So they place the sheep, who are producers. They produce wool, they produce milk, they produce so much for the land. And then they place the consumers, who can clear the land and do provide milk, but they're more consumers versus producers. They place those on their left. Right sheep, left goats. and the sheep are entering into the kingdom created before the world. We're seeing a picture of heaven. And Jesus refers to the sheep as those who did great things for the worst of needs. He refers to the sheep as those who cared for his brothers. Those who were in a mess, were in need, were in prison, were hungry. Jesus said, "The door shut against me by others was opened by you. You let me in, clothed me, gave me chance, provided out of your abundance into my need." Jesus was saying how you treat people is in direct relation to how you love me. Man, challenging. What you do for the least of these, you do for Jesus, or you do for one of these brothers of Jesus, because we are all heirs in this great kingdom of God if we make a choice to follow Jesus. Our perception is off when it comes to mankind. Again, we've been desensitized. We judge. We hide behind the overwhelming need within the world, and we go, "I can't do anything about it, so I'm not even going to watch the news." How many of us have said that? "I'm not going to watch it at all because I just don't even want to know what's happening. It's too overwhelming." We're saying, in essence, by muting the needs in the world, goats. These people are so far beyond. They're helpless. People pick it and say, "I don't want a prison in my backyard." People pick it and say, "I don't want a homeless camp in my neighborhood." They go crazy because they see, man, these people, they've just made all the wrong choices. They're going to hell in a handbasket. Why would I want them near me? And Jesus is saying, "Oh, please reach out to them. Please reach out to those who love me and those who do not love me, because they're brothers of mine. Please." Jesus looks out over the people and he sees sheep. And if we look out over the people and see goats and treat them as goats, we in turn become what? Goats. We find ourselves, when eternity comes knocking, on the left versus on the right as those who served Jesus, who's those who served the very brother of mine. Jesus is saying they are like sheep going astray, not like goats going into the slaughter. They're helpless due to a lack of interest by people. Pray for workers. They are helpless due to no protection, no fight for justice. Pray for shepherds. Pray for workers, he says. They're helpless due to disinterest and lack of engagement, not due to their lack of value or worth. Jesus is saying it's up to you to put people in a place of honor. You alone can join Jesus in his mission to see everyone hear the message of the gospel, both locally and globally, through both word and deed. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Everyone to come to repentance. As we read on the video, Acts 1:8 says, "You'll be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. As we've already read, Jesus found himself going through every town, every village, every person sharing the kingdom of heaven is near. Now he's challenging us to go and take the same task wherever our feet find themselves. See, we need to be a witness to the impact on our life as to what a growing relationship with Jesus will do. We need to be a witness to the impact on our life a growing relationship with Jesus makes. Man, this is just a heartbeat for me. And I got to tell you, when I start to think about people, I start to get emotional. In all honesty. When I begin to prepare a message like this and consider the people of greatest needs, I remember stories. I remember being in Honduras or Chiapas, or I remember being in an inner city in San Francisco. I remember hearing stories of people whom others would just walk by. I start to think of the people in this community who I just meet once and get their name and begin to pray for them. I begin to think of heroes of the faith that sit amongst us and the stories you've told me about your friends and how you've engaged the community. engaging people through sharing both our resources, our time, our possessions. We can't dismiss the needs out there, staying within our comfort zone just by placing the mute button over the world around us. Jesus wants our influence to flow from this city to the region around us, to the country, and to the whole world. And sometimes I worry if it's sharing a vision with you is too big that it'd freak you out and you'd go home and shiver or something. I don't know. But you know, when we were originally planting this church and starting this church, I saw people. I saw that thought of a river flowing down from Bonnie Lake, down that 410 hill and going out to the nations. But boy, if you share that, is that just too much for you to handle? Are you one that God will send out, not just in Bonnie Lake to make an impact, but to the globe? Matthew 28, 19, 20 makes it clear our job is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We read in John 3:16, which is not on the screen, but we might know it. You may have heard it before, but it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish." He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We need to be those that would be rescuers, that we would save this world. It's in the very fabric of the faith that we would go to the world, that we would reach all nations. When we settled into who we should be and what we should be about as Open Life, and we began to sit around tables and brainstorm the mission and vision, we landed on a very clear mission for Open Life and those who are part of Open Life. And we summed it up by saying we would lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Lead people. That's a very broad term, but a very specific term. I don't know about you, but somewhere along the line, I was taught that there were different kinds of people. There were the sinners and there were the non-sinners. I just got my church lady voice on going there, you know. Could it be Satan? If you ever watch that, just look it up on YouTube. So, you know, just looking at the reality that we separate people, we classify them sinners. And then there's non-sinners and the holiness and not holiness. And I began to discover these labels. And whether I knew it or not, I had this attitude about people. And I began to segregate people, not looking at people as all people or all nations or every circumstance or all circumstances that Jesus could make a huge difference in. But no, I began to judge. And still, I have to battle against myself to not be quick to judge. We are all intended the right to repentance. We're all intended by Jesus to be forgiven of sin. We're all supposed to get an opportunity to have a growing relationship with Jesus. Not just this one or that one or this one, but all people. We're supposed to lead people, not just sinners. We shouldn't label them. But Jesus labels them as sheep. When he looks out over the crowd and sees them harassed and helpless, he says, "They're like sheep." He puts on them, before he ever considers the conversation with them, the fact that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. They're going to get the reward. When he starts the conversation, he assumes they love me and will love me and will want a growing relationship with me, no matter their circumstances, no matter how helpless they are. And do we do that? Do we engage in conversation with that anticipation? Romans 2:11 says, "God does not show favoritism." James 2:1 challenges us, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, do not show favoritism." I love the question author and pastor Terry Crist asked this week at a conference that our pastors went to. He said this: "We are in love with the idea of caring for people. But are we doing it? That's a tough question. He also said, to love unconditionally is to love the poor both in resources and manners, morality, and civility. It's messy to love. It's messy to love all people. But yet Jesus desires forgiveness for all people. He desires everyone to have a relationship with him. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. See, God is an all kind of God. Romans 10:12-15, which we read on the video says, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then this is the portion we read on the video. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're each challenged by Jesus to walk through the doors God opens for you and I to strategically impact both locally and globally with the love and message of Jesus, through both word and deed. Now to my points. You're going, holy moly, seriously? Yeah, these are quick and simple. We've discovered that God loves all people. We know that God desires to saturate our city, the cities near our cities, and the whole earth with this message of hope in Jesus. So where do we begin? And I really thought of the order of this, and I really prayed, and I said, wow, this is the right order. This is where we begin. Give generously. If you're first time here at Open Life, you're going, classic church. No, seriously, think about this. Want to see what's important to someone? If you want to see what's important to someone, check their bank account. You'd see Starbucks is pretty important to people. You might have to check their Starbucks card for that one. But anyway, it'll draw from their bank account eventually. Check what's important to them. Our money follows our heart. If comfort's important to us, you might see like a really nice bed on there or a good chair or a couch. If entertainment's important to us, you might see a lot of food and beverages, backyard patio stuff, fireplaces, hot tubs. Yes, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. You can tell where people's heart is. And I think that's why in Scripture, God starts in the heart by challenging people to give the first 10% of their income to him. I think that's why he starts with this thing called the tithe, to say, I want to know that your heart is with me. You can say it's with me, and you can verbalize you love people, and you can say you care for people, but until you actually resource them and do something for them and give of your time and talents and treasures to them, saying it and doing it are two very different things. And so he checks our heart through our generosity. Generosity's not for the church. Generosity's for you. It's for your relationship with God. He challenges us not only to give the tithe, but the offerings as well. Generosity begins beyond 10%. And that's a challenge for us in this economy. That's hard. It means we're going to need to not lose anything or waste anything in our lives. It probably would surprise us how much money spills through our pockets during the course of a year. How much gets wasted. God calls us to give first the tithe and then the offering, which allows us to faithfully support people. We do the same. Open Life does the same. We, from the beginning, said we're going to be all about not only local missions, but global missions. We figured in the first 3 years, 70% of our effort should be given locally and 30% globally, and then that'll balance out when we begin to send people on missions trips to go out and meet the needs globally and begin to serve the needs that are across the nations. And so we landed at this strategic generosity plan, which you can listen to the message of a few weeks ago, and how we have definite strategic partners that are doing an awesome job caring for people. We began to support them out of the 10% of our tithes and offerings, giving to them, sponsoring church planting through the organization of Church Multiplication Network. I talked in the video about missions isn't going to Cambodia. We should go to Cambodia and serve. But we support an agency there called Sparrow's Nest through these missionaries named the Dobsons. And they're trying to reach out to those that are caught in the sex trafficking industry there. Children sold by their own parents to serve people for an additional income to their family. And they provide day camps and love on these children and show them how much God cares for them and teach them their worth and value, that they're sheep, not goats, so that they can make a choice to become free from the sex trade industry. Little kids. Sparrow's Nest, we support them. Bonnie Lake Family Resources, the food bank, we support them monthly. We give out of our abundance to them. They feed 4,500 mouths a month. Stu Bowen is the director there, and he has one other part-time driver. One employee, one and a half employees, 4,500 mouths a month. That is astounding. Tons of volunteers, and they need tons more. Funny thing is, we set aside, and we're even doing this school supply drive right now for Liberty Ridge Elementary, as we've seen the huge swing of need that they represent. And out of our opportunity to serve them, we've done things like Big Give, Thanksgiving meals, all these school supplies we're bringing in, we're just being ready to serve them with finances, to surprise them, board games. Even the coffee you drink is missions here at Open Life. One cup supports missions in Africa. Somebody asks you what you're doing for the drought and the needs in Somalia, say you're drinking coffee at Open Life. Just don't say that. That'd be rude. But yeah, true, every dollar we spend on coffee goes to Africa through World Vision. There's a matching grant through the coffee company. We said, you know, we could serve Starbucks, and Starbucks is like where I spend a lot of time. Check my bank account. But if you come here, we said, you know, let's be missional even with the coffee we serve. The missions is both local and global. We give to Convoy of Hope as they go into disaster areas and they're first responders around the globe. And today I want to share with you, we're taking on, because our giving is increasing, we're being even more generous. We're taking on another strategic partner that you'll see on the web. It's called Exodus Housing. You'll be seeing more via video, but Exodus Housing is an agency based right down the hill in Sumner that supports those who find themselves in homelessness because of domestic violence. Oftentimes, women and children show up in a car with just a couple boxes because they had to flee their abuser and they're in hiding, and they help them go beyond what the government would provide and actually create a life. Sometimes people even come having been in the medical field or whatever with all these degrees, and they have to change their identity, move across the nation, and find themselves living under a new alias ultimately in a witness protection program in Bonnie Lake, and we're able to support them. You'll be hearing a lot more about Exodus Housing, because I believe we need to go after those who are facing injustice, and we need to put action to what wells up inside of us, not just sit back. Not just let the government do it. We need to be the answer and take action. Then, two, we should pray. Prayer opens our eyes to the hurting. Prayer opens our hearts. By simply talking to God about the injustice we notice, the hurting, the needy, the messy, God will open your heart to love them. God will open our hearts to love the unlovable. Instead of pressing mute to the least of these, we should pray for the needs that we see. And we should watch what God does in our heart, because once we pray for them, we're moved by their circumstances. Maybe you don't know how to pray. Prayer is simply talking to God. If you notice something, say, God, help that person. And if you pray for them enough, you won't be able to not take action. We pray in our home for missionaries in Cambodia, the Dobsons, every night. It's cool to see our kids praying for the Dobsons. And I went onto their Facebook the other day and showed them their little boy who's 7 years old eating a tarantula. I spared the video. I thought of it, but I spared you from it. But it was a snack at some convention thing they did there in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and he's like just chowing on this tarantula, and like, what does it taste like? And it's obviously pickled or something, but he's just going like tarantula. I was laughing, and I show my girls, and they're like, we're going to pray harder for that family. Is that how they really eat? I was like, no, I'm sure that was some weird circumstance. But they're there just loving on those who are farthest from our mind. But yet, people give of their lives. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our work week, that we would have an opportunity to share what God's doing in our life, how our growing relationship with Jesus is impacting us. We need to pray for that. We need to pray. We need to dare to get involved. Number three, we need to dare to get involved. When opportunity knocks, we need to open the door. And I found myself in some weird places going with that philosophy. When God opens a door, walking through it, whether I prayed here on this stage for a Lions Club fundraiser not many months ago, I found myself a couple weeks ago praying to open Race for the Cure down at Sumner Sunset Stadium. I find myself having dialogue with someone at Starbucks who just looks down and you're like, dude, you okay? And you end up having a conversation. And I don't know, what kind of doors will open if your eyes are open? In our culture today, we put on our headphones and it's easy to kind of be our own, but are our eyes open? Are our ears open? It's kind of funny. I do this. This is kind of weird. You'll be nervous to sit by me in Starbucks now, but oftentimes I put my headphones in, but I'm not playing any music. I'm actually listening to all the conversations around me, but they don't think I am because I have my headphones in. So it's kind of funny. You're sitting there, you know, I will listen to music, but the CD will stop or Spotify will give an advertisement and I'll mute it. And then I'll hear a conversation about somebody talking about life. And it just helps me understand the needs of this community. But yet it's kind of really emotional to hear somebody talk about whether or not they should post pictures of their baby online because they wonder if their father will see their baby. You're like, whoa, wow, whoa, that's painful. That somebody in our community who's had a child and the father's never seen it, and they don't even want to put the pictures on Facebook for the father to see it. Lord, help them. Will we dare to get involved? It's one thing to give, but often giving leaves us at a distance. It's another to physically engage the need through serving. Whether it's volunteering at a homeless shelter or whether it's getting on a plane and going to Cambodia, we need to impact the hurting and make a difference. Put our hands to work. So a worthwhile pursuit for us, do for the one what you wish you could do for all. If we walk through that lens, do for the one what you wish you could do for all, I believe it'll free so many people because we see the all and we choose not to do. But if we realize we can make an impact in the one, Michael Wilmot, right here on the front row, sends me an email this week saying how on July 20th, he got a group of men from a men's group he's a part of, a men's breakfast, and served a homeless shelter in Tacoma. A bunch of men who are trapped in the realities of alcohol and drug addiction. They went and they served them, and he shared a message with them. Hidden heroes sitting right amongst our seats. The Alfanos aren't here today, but somebody walked up to me this week and said, thank you for raising up a community leader in Fife. And I was like, huh? And he says, Kevin Alfano is making a massive impact in our schools. And he's partnering every church with local schools through his superintendent because of the vision you guys have been sharing about Liberty Ridge Elementary. And he's taken that and applied it to Fife, Milton, and Edgewood. And he's making a huge impact in our city. He is one of our community leaders now. I was like, whew. This week I got a call from the general manager of Walmart, and he said, I just want to let you know, because of your sharing about Liberty Ridge Elementary and how you guys have strategically partnered with them, and because we're about education, we're going to partner with strategically with Liberty Ridge Elementary School, and we're going to supply all their needs, and we're going to come alongside your school drives and your all these drives that you're doing and be a part of meeting the very tangible need that is represented right here. That's what it's all about. It causes a ripple effect of people engaging the needs of community. God, I thank you for showing us in your word that we need to engage the mission, both locally and globally. I think the hardest thing for us is to go beyond caring about doing that and actually doing that. So God, I pray this week you'll help us have our eyes open. We see all throughout Scripture that you challenge your disciples to have eyes that would see and ears that would hear. So I pray that for us, Lord, that we would have eyes that would see and ears that would hear. I pray for us to be inspired to do something, to engage those opportunities we put forth, whether it's like serving at Bonnie Lake Days or whether it's doing Big Give or Beautify Bonnie Lake, and not only just the things the church promotes, but Lord, people's individual relationships lead to missional moments. And so I pray that you'll help their eyes see those and they'll take action. God, I pray for each of them. You said pray for workers. I pray you'd engage each of us as workers in what you're doing in and around us. We give you thanks for the blessings you provide us so that we could be generous. Giving ultimately is the easiest thing we could do in missions. The hardest is giving ourselves to prayer and action. And so I pray, God, that you'll help us do all three.